Good morning. My name is Benita, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to JinkoSolar Fourth Quarter and Full Year 2011 Financial Results Conference. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I'll now like to turn the call over to Mr. Sebastien Liu. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's Fourth Quarter and Full Year 2011 Earnings Conference Call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on our company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on our IR website. On the call today from Jinko are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Zhang Longgen, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about the company's business strategy, and then Mr. Zhang, who will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in Jinko's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including its annual report on Form 20-F for the fiscal year ended December 21st, 2010, filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission on April 25th, 2011, as amended on May 10th, 2011, and other documents filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Jinko does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please be noted that no supplement to supplement this consolidated financial result presented in accordance with the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or GAAP, JinkoSolar uses certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate Jinko's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of the net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of Jinko. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢你，刘司令。大家早上或晚上好。非常感谢您能参加我们的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastien. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Despite the challenging fourth quarter of 2011 for both our company and the industry as a whole, we remain confident in our low-cost and vertically integrated business model, as it has provided us with the adaptability needed to push through these difficult times. As we continue to improve on the efficiency of our production process and generate values for our shareholders over the long term.
严峻的市场形势给公司毛利率造成了直接影响。 平均销售价格下滑速度过于快预期，在全球经济环境不确定性的基础上，给公司增加了进一步的压力。多晶硅和其他辅助材料价格的下降难以完全抵消这些压力的影响。公司2011年第四季度的一体化内部毛利率从第三季度的 18.4% 下降到 5.8%。
The extremely difficult situation directly affected our gross margins as a declining average selling prices, which continue to fall faster than anticipated. Added pressure to an already uncertain global economic environment, which the decline in the price of polysilicon and other auxiliary materials was not able to offset. In-house gross margin dropped to 5.8% in the fourth quarter of 2011, compared with 18.4% in the third quarter of 2011.
在困难的市场情况下，我们第四季度实现了太阳能产品227兆瓦的出货量，其中169.1兆瓦为太阳能组件，总收入为1.904亿美元。尽管面临挑战，通过继续发展与德国、意大利以及东欧等主要市场客户的稳固关系，我们的品牌仍然保持了雄厚的实力。
Despite such a difficult environment, we managed to achieve a total shipment of 227 megawatts of solar products during the fourth quarter of 2011, of which 169.1 megawatts were solar modules. Total revenue were $119.4 million, or 1.2 billion RMB. These challenging times notwithstanding, our brand remains strong as we continue to develop solid relationship with our customers in key markets such as Germany, Italy, and Eastern Europe.
虽然销售额低于预期，但是大部分重要客户对公司仍非常支持。我们相信客户的支持来源于公司高质量的产品以及出色的服务网络。
While sales were weaker than expected, most of our top customers have stayed with us, and we believe that this is because the value of high-quality products and great service network.
从2011年开始，公司一直坚持市场多元化战略，并积极向新兴市场扩张。虽然第四季度充满挑战，但我们仍然看到了光伏市场的增长，并抓住了新的市场机会。一季度公司75%的收入来自于德国和意大利，截至2011年12月31日，该数字已下降到50%左右。同时，公司在新兴市场的扩张不仅体现在这些地区的出货量比例的增加上，更体现在公司在当地市场建立的合作关系，特别是在第四季度增长势头强劲的地区，例如中国和印度。
Our strategy since the beginning of 2011 has been to diversify our global presence and expand into new markets. Where this past quarter was challenged, the PV market will continue to grow and we have already begun to seek out these new opportunities. In the first quarter of 2011, 75% of our revenues were derived from the Germany and Italy. But by December 31st, 2011, those two countries accounted for only 15%. Its geographic expansion into new markets not only allow us to potentially offset the effects of the decreased sales in some other regions, but more importantly, it also allows us to invest in our local business relationship, especially in regions where we saw stronger growth in Q4, such as China and India.
第四季度，公司在加拿大和澳大利亚分别开设了分支机构。我们认为地域性扩张有助于保证公司业绩在未来的增长。
During the fourth quarter, branch offices in Canada and Australia were opened, which we anticipate will help yield strong returns we expect from our ever-expanding geographic presence.
我们全年的财务数据也开始展现出这一战略的效果。太阳能产品总出货量达到950.5兆瓦。与2010年相比增长了97.9%，总收入12亿美元，与2010年相比增长58.7%。
As such, our four-year numbers are starting to show the results of this strategy. Total solar product shipments were 915.5 megawatts, an increase of 97.9% from 2010. Total revenue were $1.2 billion, an increase of 58.7% from 2010.
尽管整个太阳能行业在过去两个季度遇到了很多困难，但公司仍然实现了去年光伏产品出货量100%的增长和营业额60%的增长。我们对这样的增长速度表示自豪。最新的 IMS 光伏研究报告中，公司在全球光伏企业组件出货量排名中名列第七，比去年上升11个排名。同时，公司也对2012年下半年行业的恢复保持乐观的态度。公司有业内领先的成本结构、良好的资产负债表以及全球化的营销体系。我们相信，当2012年第二季度市场开始好转时，公司将能充分发挥出自身的优势。
But the past two quarters have been difficult for the industry. We effectively doubled our solar product shipment and increased revenue by close to 16% with the past year, which we are very proud of. This achievement is reflected in the new IMS Research PV Module Rankings, which ranked Jinko number 7 in terms of PV Module shipment. This is 11 ranks higher than last year. With this in mind, we remain optimistic about our prospects and the rebound in the second half of 2012.Leveraging our industry-leading cost structure, strong balance sheet, and wide-reaching global presence, we will be able to take full advantage of our strengths as the market begins to turn in the second quarter of 2012.
鉴于欧洲经济的不确定性，公司预计2012年全球增长不会有很高，预计今年全球需求为24吉瓦至28吉瓦。由于欧洲国家的紧缩政策。有补贴刺激的需求必然会产生变化，因此我们认为相较于欧洲国家，中国、印度、东欧、美国等新兴市场将更能带动公司未来增长。
Due to economic instability in Europe, we don't expect there to be high global growth. We anticipate that 2012 global demand to be around 24 to 28 gigawatts in 2012.European countries that have such a dire demand are beginning to fundamentally change economically as austerity measures are put in place. As such, we don't see much growth coming from within Europe, but from emerging markets such as China, India, Eastern Europe, and US, which are expected to contribute more meaningfully.
公司通过项目开发向下游部署资源，积极向产业链下游发展，例如公司已建成30兆瓦的电站项目，并准备出售。基于项目开发与建设积累的经验以及公司其他相应资源，公司正在部署产业链延伸的战略。我们相信，这样的战略不仅能降低公司总营业务的风险，而且能帮助提高公司总体毛利率。
We have also begun to implement a strategy to move further downstream as we continue to deploy resources towards participating in more project development and system sales. We have begun project development of our own solar power plants, including one of 30 megawatts, which are expect to sell in the future. We are very excited about these new business opportunities. Leveraging our current resources, we are expanding our business chain not only to partially mitigate the volatility in our core business, but also to increase our overall gross margin.
这些项目的成功巩固了公司主流厂商地位，并刺激更多的国内太阳能光伏电站项目。同时，迅速增长的国内市场2012年预计有5个吉瓦左右的需求。国家对光伏产业的扶持以及12-5规划对政策的保证，加上公司已有的资源和相关经验，我们计划2012年完成100至150兆瓦的项目开发。我们对公司向下游发展的能力充满信心。
Deals like this have effectively secured our place as one of the most significant solar power manufacturers. The success of this type of project will undoubtedly spur the development of more PV-related projects across China as the solar industry continues to grow. Leveraging our project experience and supported by favorable government regulations and the transit by the national Trump's 5-year plan, we believe we can achieve 100 to 50 megawatts in pilot project development in 2012, with demand expected to be near 5 gigawatts for similar solar projects. We are confident in our ability to expand downstream.
虽然销售低于预期，但是大部分东亚客户对公司仍然非常支持。同时，我想简单介绍一下去年9月浙江海宁事件的最新情况。公司在海宁事件的处理上取得了重要的进步，继雷纳的报告后，为海宁工厂进行环境状况评估的美国EYS公司也提交了环境检测报告，肯定了公司的改进措施。 2月底，公司还得到了浙江省环境监测中心验收合格的证明。
As I mentioned before, when sales were weaker than expected, most of our top customers have stayed with us. With respect to the quality and environmental considerations, we believe that we have made substantial progress in addressing issues at our Haining facilities. Recently, EYS, the top American environmental engineering firm, which we had hired to conduct an assessment of environmental conditions at our Haining facilities, concluded that the environmental audit and approve our remedial work. This follows technical due diligence conducted by RINA, a leading European environmental engineering firm. In late February, we also received the environmental approval from ZEM, Zhejiang Province Environmental Monitoring.
以下是我们对2012年第一季度及全年的预测。 2012年第一季度，公司太阳能组件出货总量预计达到170至190兆瓦。
For the fourth quarter of 2012, Jinko expected total solar module shipments to be approximately 170 megawatts to 190 megawatts.
2012年全年，太阳能组件出货量预计在800至1000兆瓦之间。 公司项目开发规模在100至150兆瓦之间。 2012年，公司将保持硅电、太阳能电池和组件1200兆瓦的产能。
For the full year 2012, total solar module shipments are expected to be in the range of 800 megawatts to 1000 megawatts, and total project development scale is expected to be in the range of 100 megawatts to 150 megawatts. The company expects that in-house annual silicon ingots, silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity will remain at approximately 1.2 gigawatts each by the end of 2012.
Arturo 将进一步向大家介绍公司第四季度和全年在收入和市场方面的主要成就，以及2012年第一季度及下半年公司 在重点国家及地区的战略与市场前景。Arturo
Herrero, our Chief Marketing Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the fourth quarter and the full year in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the first quarter of 2012 and the second half in the key countries and regions.
非常感谢。
Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Good morning and good evening to all of you. 2011 was a very challenging year for our industry, mainly due to the extraordinary negative market conditions created by the financial and debt crisis in Europe. The combination of a sharp reduction in bank lending, stricter borrowing terms, a fast reduction of feed-in tariff in most important PV markets, substantial oversupply of modules, and aggressive competition resulted in a faster-than-expected decrease of prices of PV products in the market, causing several companies to go bankrupt or file for Chapter 11. Our fourth quarter sales were also negatively impacted by the coverage of the media of the accident that occurred in our Haining facility in September. After several technical due diligence by independent international firms and after improvements to our waste management, our Haining facility today operates at a very high health, safety and environment standards, and we believe that this is one of the cleanest facilities in China. Despite such adverse conditions, we achieved great success, almost doubling megawatt shipments at 450, almost tripling module shipments, increasing revenues also by 59% to a level of $1.2 billion US dollar, and increasing brand recognition, all the while keeping costs under control and at the same time maintaining positive margins in 2011. From a market penetration standpoint, we grew our market share in the major 15 TV countries to over 3%. We also increased geographical diversification, entering into new markets and building brand recognition further and attracting new customers. Europe continued to account for the largest portion of our shipments as we expanded into new geographical locations. At the beginning of 2011, Germany and Italy accounted for over 75% of our sales, while in Q4, Germany and Italy together, they were down to around 50%. The other 50% is spread among 12 countries, a proof of our success in increasing market share in other markets, such as India, China, and Eastern Europe. We benefited from a strong demand coming from Germany during the Q4, thanks to better-than-expected weather conditions and approaching feed-in tariff cuts, leveraging the loyalty from important and well-recognized German companies. Italian demand in Q4 was lower than expected, mainly due to the lack of bank support and higher funding costs due to the instability in the Italian economy, a difficult project financing environment, and the approaching cuts in subsidies to ground PV systems. We anticipated this trend, and we have been successfully switching our sales to wholesalers and EPC contractors dedicated to roof installations. Outside Europe, we managed to increase sales by over 30%, including our first sales in Chile, Mexico, and Israel, where we see great potential for the next quarter. In the USA, due to the expiration of cash grants related to the safe harbor policy, our order book increased substantially, but these revenues couldn't be recognized in Q4, as we wanted to be conservative. These revenues, however, will be recognized in Q1 2012 and should account for over 8% in that quarter. We continue to strengthen and further expand our global sales and marketing teams. Especially in the USA and Asia, we have reinforced our sales and marketing structure by hiring well-recognized professionals from the solar industry. In China, as already mentioned by our CEO, we completed the project for China Guangdong Nuclear on time. As already announced, thanks to both the feed-in tariff for large-scale projects and the Golden Sun program for roof installations, we are seeing great demand coming mainly in Q2 and Q3 2012, and we expect the market to reach a total of around 4 to 5 gigawatts. Let me remind you that the commitment from the Chinese government is to reach an annual target of 10 gigawatts installed by 2015 and 50 gigawatts by 2020. We expect China to exceed this target. In line with this, we opened an office in Beijing to be closer to the government, and we have put in place a team to focus on the Chinese market. In South America, we developed some incipient business working closely with local partners and European current customers, and we see good opportunities in the second half of 2012 and mainly in 2013. We received our first orders from Chile, Mexico, and Brazil during 2011, where we successfully passed the certification of Inmetro with an A grade for most of our module portfolio. Worldwide, Q4 total solar product shipments were almost 227 megawatts, including 169 megawatts for solar modules. Sequentially, we have reduced wafers and cells in line with our vertical integration strategy. In Ontario, Canada, we have entered into a very fruitful partnership for local module assembly in order to comply with the local content and will be included in all opportunities for such a big potential demand. We have also opened our subsidiary in Queensland, Australia, where we expect to successfully enter to residential markets, both in Queensland and in Southwest. We are also very proud of receiving support from existing customers who view us as a trustful long-term partner, flexible to market changes, excellent provider of service, and high-quality products, despite the difficulties in this quarter. We continue to build a strong partnership network with distributors, PV developers, and EPC contractors across the globe, including from Germany, Energiebau, Kranich, Opayom Solar, Bultec Technology, or Solea, from Italy, Enerventi, Elpo, among others, Premier Power in U.S. and Europe, Martifer in Portugal, Gran Solar, Proinso, etc. in Spain, Sunconnex in the Netherlands, or Enertec in India. We are once again also acceptable supplier to Photon Power AG after the technical inspection of our Hainan installations. Regarding marketing, one of our primary goals over the past year has been to broaden brand recognition, particularly in the various important markets in Europe and also in the United States. We have become the principal sponsor for the current season for the Valencia Football Club in Spain, the third major team in the Spanish Premier League, after Real Madrid and Barcelona. They will compete in the European Cup against major European clubs, and we will see our brand recognized in Europe, but also worldwide. We are in negotiations for the following season, and the agreement to install our solar modules on the roof of the new stadium in Valencia. We are getting also good exposure for our Ginkgo brand thanks to the football German national team, benefiting our sales in the local residential market in what is still the most important PV market in the world. In the USA, we increased brand recognition with our sponsorship at the San Francisco 49ers Stadium, where they played the semifinals for the Super Bowl in front of the physically and TV audience of over 80 million. Unfortunately, they were not selected for the Super Bowl that was played in Indianapolis. Hopefully, they will be positioned next year. During 2011, we attended 18 solar and renewable energy exhibitions and conferences, and we were invited to speak at several high-level conferences. During Q4, we actively attended the renewable French exhibition, the SPI in Dallas, USA, UPV-SEE 2011 in Sydney, Australia, and PV Asia-Pacific in Singapore. Regarding OEM, in line with our strategy to promote our company, Ginkgo brand, we are dedicating our OEM business only to key special partners. Therefore, our white-label solar modules during the fourth quarter of 2011 accounted for only 10% of our revenues. Regarding bankability, there is no doubt our bankability was impacted by the accident at our Hainan facilities, and some of the banks put on hold the bankability of PV systems with Ginkgo modules. However, thanks to the due diligence conducted by environmental engineering firms from Europe and from the USA, we managed to rebuild the trust from major banks, especially from Italy, Germany, and the USA. Right now, more than 30 banks are financing PV systems with Ginkgo solar modules, and we are still talking with more than 60 banks in 12 countries. With the backing of the reports issued by URS and Bureau Veritas, we believe that all pending doubts will disappear. We have done a great effort with very positive results from PR to rebuild our company image. Finally, regarding ASP, our solar modules declined much faster than expected during 2011 in our sector, especially in Q3 and Q4, in part because of the impact of the Hainan accident, but also because of the big erosion on price and margins due to competition and oversupply. 18% decrease from Q3 to Q4, but less than from Q2 to Q3. From the beginning of 2011 to the end, we have been impacted by ASP reductions of over 40%. However, thanks to our vertical integration structure, despite the hard pressure of prices in the market, our performance is encouraging, as it shows our ability to leverage our advantageous cost structure. Being competitive and at the same time strong in quality and efficiency gives Ginkgo Solar a great opportunity to keep expanding and gaining market share as a clear cost leader and win a significant increasing brand recognition. Despite the difficult quarter, we have established the basis for a good 2012, and currently we are competing in many countries with Tier 1 players, and Ginkgo branding modules are being included in most of the big tenders for 2012 and 2013 with important well-known companies in Germany, Italy, Spain, France, or USA for projects worldwide. With that, now I would like to turn the call over to Sam, our CFO, who will introduce our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year 2011 and guidance for 2012. Thank you.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and good evening to everyone on the call. First, I would like to walk you through our financial results for the fourth quarter of 2011, followed by full year results, and the first quarter and full year 2012 guidance. As Mr. Chen mentioned early, total solar product shipments in the fourth quarter of 2011 were 227 megawatts, consisting of 41 megawatts of silicon wafers, 16.9 megawatts of solar cells, and 169.1 megawatts of solar modules. Total revenues in the fourth quarter of 2011 were $190.4 million US, a decrease of 32.7% sequentially, and a decrease of 32.2% of year over year. The sequential decrease in revenues was primarily due to an industry-wide decline in average selling prices of solar products and a decrease in sales volume of solar modules during the fourth quarter of 2011. Gross margin was negative 4.4% in the fourth quarter of 2011, compared with 3.7% in the third quarter of 2011 and 28.5% in the fourth quarter of 2010. The sequential and year-over-year decrease in gross margin was primarily due to a decline in the average selling price of solar modules, which was partially offset by the decline in price of polysilicon and auxiliary materials and improvements in operating efficiency. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, solar module production was 5.8% in the fourth quarter of 2011, compared with 18.4% in the third quarter of 2011 and 34.7% in the fourth quarter of 2010. The decline was primarily because the average selling price of solar modules fell more rapidly than the price of polysilicon and auxiliary materials. Now, non-silicon costs decreased to 64 cents per watt in the fourth quarter of 2011 from 68 cents per watt in the third quarter of 2011. This was primarily due to both our efficiency use of consumable materials in the production process and the decline in the prices of auxiliary materials such as glass, EVA, and civil paste. Loss from operations in the fourth quarter of 2011 was $50.2 million, compared with loss from operations of $30.9 million in the third quarter of 2011 and income from operations of $55 million in the fourth quarter of 2010. Total operating expenses in the fourth quarter of 2011 were $41.9 million, an increase of 0.2% sequentially and an increase of 87.5% year over year. Excluding non-cash charges, which consisted of an impairment of goodwill, operating expenses would be $34.7 million, compared to $41.3 million in the third quarter of 2011 and $21.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2010. The sequential decrease was primarily due to a decrease of $12.4 million in the provision for bad debt from the third quarter of 2011, which was partially offset by an increase in professional service fees and sales and marketing expenses associated with the expansion of our global sales offices. In the fourth quarter of 2011, due to the challenging solar market conditions and a significant reduction of the company's market capitalization since the second quarter of 2011, the company recognized an impairment of goodwill of $7.3 million. The goodwill subject to the impairment originated from the 2009 acquisition of equity interest in Zhejiang Jinko, an operating subsidiary of the company. Operating margin in the fourth quarter of 2011 was a negative 26.4%, compared with negative 11.1% in the third quarter of 2011 and a positive 20.5% in the fourth quarter of last year. Net interest expense in the fourth quarter of 2011 was $8.4 million, an increase of 7.2% from the third quarter of 2011, and a 5.3% from the fourth quarter of 2010. The sequential increase in net interest expense was primarily attributable to the first four quarters of interest expense incurred by the company on the unsecured one-year short-term bonds with an aggregate principal amount of 400 million RMB issued in July 2011 with an annual interest rate of 6.5%. We recorded a foreign currency exchange loss of 4.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2011, primarily due to the loss of 9.7 million in foreign currency exchange, which was partially offset by a gain in the change in fair value of forward contracts of 5.2 million US dollars, both of which were due to the depreciation of euro and US dollar against the RMB currency. We recognized a gain of 1.4 million in change in fair value of capped call options and convertible senior notes due to a gain from the change in fair value of convertible senior notes and capped call options. We recognized a tax benefit of 2.9 million in the fourth quarter of 2011, compared with a tax expense of 0.2 million in the third quarter of 2011. And a tax expense of 10 million in the fourth quarter of 2010. The income tax benefits in the fourth quarter of 2011 was primarily due to a reversal of income tax expenses from previous in connection with the net loss incurred in the fourth quarter of 2011. Net loss in the fourth quarter of 2011 was 58.3 million US dollars compared with a net income of 10.7 million in the third quarter of 2011 and a net income of 55.8 million in the fourth quarter of 2010. This translates into basic and diluted loss per share of 65 cents and basic and diluted loss per ADS of $2.58, respectively. Non-GAAP net loss in the fourth quarter of 2011 was 58.9 million US dollars, compared with non-GAAP net loss of 38.9 million in the third quarter of 2011 and a non-GAAP net income of 55.8 million in the fourth quarter of last year. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted loss per ADS of $2.61. Now, we will briefly review our full-year 2011 financial results. Total revenues for the full-year 2011 were 1.2 billion US dollars, an increase of 58.7% from 705.3 million US dollars in 2010. Income from operations for the full-year 2011 was 50.2 million US dollars, a decrease of 68.1% from 150 million in 2010. Operating margin for the full year 2011 was 4.3% compared to 21.3% for the full year 2010. Total operating expenses in 2011 were 132.5 million US dollars, and the increase of 27% from 55.7 million in 2010. Operating expenses represented 11.3% of total revenue for the full year 2011, compared to 7.9% for the full year 2010. The company recognized a tax expenses of 12.9 million for the full year 2011, compared to a tax expenses of 22.1 million in 2010. Net income for the full year 2011 was 43.4 million US dollars, a decrease of 69% from 133.6 million in 2010. This translates into basic earnings per ADS of $1.85 and diluted loss per ADS of 78 cents in 2011. Non-GAAP net income in 2011 were 0.7 million US dollars, compared with non-GAAP net income of $133.6 million in 2010. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted loss per ADS of 3 cents US dollar cents in 2011. I would now like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of December 31st, 2011, we had $92.2 million in cash, US dollars in cash, cash equivalents, and risk-free cash. Total short-term banking borrowings, including the current portion of long-term banking borrowings, were $349.6 million. We had total long-term borrowings of $24.7 million as of December 31, 2011. Capital expenditures in the fourth quarter of 2011 were $52.7 million, which was used to, most of $39 million is used for the construction of solar power plants. Now, let me turn to our guidance. For the first quarter of 2012, we expected total solar module shipments to be approximately 170 megawatts to 190 megawatts. For the full year 2012, total solar module shipments are expected to be in the range of 800 megawatts to 1 gigawatts, and the total project development scale is expected to be in the range of 100 megawatts to 150 megawatts. We expect the company's in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacities to remain approximately 1.2 gigawatts each by the end of the year 2012. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, star one for questions. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question is from the line of Philip Chan with Roth Capital Partners.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
That's it?
Ready to hear the question?
Mr. Chen, your line is open, sir. If you're muted, please unmute your line. Okay. We'll go to the line of Hari Chandra. Hello, sir. Your line is open. Mr. Chandra, your line is open for your question. Thank you. We'll go to the line of Satya Kumar.
Hello, Satya.
With Credit Suisse.
Hello, Satya.
The non-silicon cost went to 64 cents in the fourth quarter. We were wondering where your non-silicon cost may go by the end of 2012.
Okay, I think the question. You're asking our Q4 non-silicon cost is 64 cents. And what we expected by the end of this year, the non-silicon cost.
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct. Thanks.
I think, if you look at our Q4, non-silicon cost is 64 cents. The major reduction, I think, is on the materials. I think a major is EVA and glasses dropped almost 18% in Q4 compared with Q3. And the silver paste dropped almost 5%. So we are continuing to expect that the materials continue to go down. And by efficiency, use those materials, and also to increase our high efficiency in our sale. So we are expecting non-silicon cost by the end of this year, maybe around 57 cents to 58 cents per watt.
You said 57 to 58 cents?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And you also mentioned that some banks had put Jinko on hold because of the Haining issue. Can you talk about how many banks put Jinko on hold? And I know that you're at over 30 banks are still financing, but how many were there before?
Okay, I think to clear this question, you know, we think the hold is the bankability is for the project side. It's not for our, you know, the credit facilities. No banking right now put a hold on our banking facilities, okay?
Yeah,
thank
you, Sam. Let me clarify. My comment is that the systems utilizing using Jinko solar modules were these systems that loaned to these projects were put on hold until we clarify what's really happened in our Haining facilities. After the due diligence and technical information and the reports, immediately the banks were accepting the explanations. Some of them, they were sending some engineering firms, and finally they considered that it was okay, so they started again to have bankable these projects with Jinko modules. So it was solved.
So how many of the banks did you say?
Well, we don't know exactly how many banks. We know that some of them, they were questioning. We have to send a lot of information. We needed to do a PR effort and to provide them the reports, and that's it. And then they reestablished and they resume offering loans to our projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Your next question is from the line of Philip Shen with Roth Capital.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. I'd like to explore your guidance a bit. Can you give us a sense for what you expect your geographic shipment mix will be in Q1 and for a full year 2012?
Okay, let me explain. You know, this time, the guidance we've given guidance actually, you know, two pieces. One is we're going to provide the whole year, the shipments of the module is 800 megawatts to 1 gigawatt. That's purely the module sales. Then we also give another piece. I think, you know, we go downstream to the projects. So we also, the projects developed in China. And currently we also working on 30 megawatts and are working on that. So we give whole year guidance right now is 100 to 150 megawatts on the projects developed.
Right.
So
and
for the Q1,
Go ahead, Sam.
For the Q1 guidance, I think you already see that we given out, I think the shipments is 190 megawatts. And for the you know, the project developed, because we are working on that, this is really, you know, difficult to, you know, to project.
Right. I guess my question was, can you give us a sense for, you know, in Q1 for the 170 to 190 megawatts, what is your geographic mix expectation? So what percent do you expect to go to Germany, what percent to the U.S., what percent to China? And then can you do the same for 2012?
Let me answer. This is Arturo, CMO. So mainly what we are trying to achieve, as we did quite successful during 2011, is to diversify much more in different geographies, right? So still Germany, Italy are our major countries in our portfolio. But thanks to this good job in strategically entering to new markets, we have seen also quite the strong demand coming from markets like India, like Eastern Europe, and also USA. So we will see in Q1 also these markets quite strongly taking part of this portfolio.
Great. And can you give us a sense for expectations for Q1 gross margins and what kinds of ASPs are you seeing in Q1, you know, following what's happened in Germany?
I think talking about, you know, the gross margin, you know, for this year, because I'm you know, already mentioning, Philip, you know, this year our revenue actually come from two pieces. One is from selling of module. Another is the selling of the solar plant. Plant. So from whole year, I think for the module selling 800 to 1 gigawatts, to my, you know, thinking, I cannot give, you know, the gross margin. I think, you know, the whole year gross margin may be, you know, between 2% to maybe 5%, you know, I'm more conservative speaking. And for the project side, the gross margin maybe is around, you know, 20% to 25%. And the revenue side, I think, you know, the project selling will account of revenue maybe 20%. The module selling will maybe around 80%.
Great. That is helpful. And then one last question, if I may, and I'll jump back in queue. You know, you've talked about the project development strategy. How much capital do you think you might tie up in your project development efforts in 2012?
Basically, you know, you already see in December, actually the CapEx, you know, $58 million. We have, you know, $39 million is sticking to the 30 megawatt projects. Basically, right now we do projects in China because we can control and we also know better. So today, you know, for 30 megawatts, I think, you know, we maybe invest around per watt is around $1.80. And so it's easy for you to calculate and how much we will invest into that, you know, even let's say 100 megawatts, we have to invest like $180 million. But you have to know that, for example, that 30 megawatts project, we maybe you know, sell it in Q2. So it's a rolling over. You see what I say? We develop for you.
Yep.
We sell it.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from the line of Aaron Chu with Maxim Group.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for the question. Wondering if you could just touch a little bit on the state of the polysilicon market currently and how things have really trended from the end of last year through January and Feb, and how quickly, if anything, on the pricing front has changed post the German decision, and finally where you guys see things shaking out by year end in terms of poly.
Jinko is one of, you know, the vertical integrated. I think we buy silicon poly is from market major. And of course, you know, we from time to time, we also contract, you know, some polysilicon for short term. So basically, you know, as you know that today, the situation is oversupply. I think the cost ASP of module continue to go down. So that's, you know, why, you know, talking about gross margin, we also have to connect those two prices. If ASP of module price continue to go down, maybe, you know, stick around 80 cents to even 75 cents, then the poly also go down. As you can see, January, and, you know, the poly even go down to $20. Today, it's come back maybe around, you know, $23 to $25 per kilogram. And basically, we think, you know, the reasonable price maybe is between $23 to $26 per kilogram. So... Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you.
Yeah. So if I think, you know, if the scenario continue to go on, especially, you know, Germany, I think grace period until the end of the June, and the whole market right now, the situation, I think, you know, as you know that GCL claims, you know, their cost only $16, you know, cash per kilograms, but OCI other company, you know, their cost is higher, but overall, the polysilicon capacity, I think, is oversupply. So to me, I think, you know, I think the poly price will go down maybe, you know, in Q4 this year, maybe even, you know, below $25 per kilogram.
So just to clarify, you're buying poly in the mid-20s right now?
We buy poly between, you know, 20 to 28.
20 to 28. And can you maybe just highlight real quick, if you don't mind, how the pricing strategies differ from GCL to the OCIs and Vockers of the world? Is GCL a couple bucks below that normally, $2 or $3?
Yeah, GCL is tough because GCL signed a long-term contract with some, you know, Chinese producer, I think, you know, Trina and other. So they right now is not only selling, the major is selling Weaver. They're not selling poly. So basically, you know, we buy the poly most from OCI and Walker. So basically, yes, I think Walker and OCI, maybe the poly price is you know, 50 cents or $1 higher than, you know, GCL.
Okay, excellent. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This question is from the line of Vishal Shah with Deutsche Bank.
Hi, this is Scott Reynolds for Vishal Shah. Thank you for taking the question. I was wondering, how much polysilicon do you currently have in inventory, and what would your best guess be for the average price currently for that?
Okay, Vishal, this is Longan. And today, you know, by the end of the December, we have raw materials, you know, total, I think, is $39 million out of that $174 million inventory. And raw materials we have around, for the materials is around, I think, 134,000 kilograms. That means around 134 tenths.
And
the cost is...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. The cost is 37, I think it's 37 cents, right? $37. Yeah.
And for that, what would you expect that to be for megawatts? The 134.
That's if you divide it by, you know, 5.5 grams. So it's around 200, right? 200 megawatts, yeah.
Okay, so it'd be fair to say that for next quarter shipments, this would be fairly close to the cost. Unless you know there was an inventory provision. Okay.
Because if you look at, you know, the Q4, we right now silicon cost is 27 cents. You know, we almost it's closing to the, you know, the market price. So the inventory write down for Q4, we only $500,000. So we already close to the market.
Okay. And now on the last earnings call, you talked about a market outlook of 19 to 20 gigawatts. Unless I missed something, you talked about a market outlook of 28 gigawatts for today. So what's the difference in your expectations?
This is longer. I think basically maybe Otto can add on that. We think, you know, especially China, I think if you look at China in our next five plan, you see, and China expansion by the 2015, you know, the solar capacity. So this year, China increased to 5 gigawatts. We believe, you know, even will be higher than 5 gigawatts. So then also rest of other countries, especially Australia, you know, other emerging market, you know, Australia, India, you know, Africa. So basically all these, right now today we give figure around 24 gigawatts to 28 gigawatts is come from Fulton and other, you know, I think institution, their estimates.
Yes, we are following very closely around 6 to 8 different sources of information from analysts that they recognize that the market is in 2012 will be around 24 to 28 gigawatts. And mainly there is a switch, is a tendency to increase countries, emerging countries outside Europe. But still Germany, Italy, France, Eastern Europe belongs to the top tiers, including India, Japan, and USA, of course.
Okay, and along those lines, you know, we've seen, obviously, OPEX has gone up fairly significantly over the past few quarters with your geographic expansion. So can you give us an idea of what you expect for your 2012 outlook with regards to OPEX?
Yes, I think for the OPEX, for Q4, basically... For the OPEX, you know, Q4, we total is $42 million. If we take that, you know, the AR premium around $6 million, and also goodwill impairment, $7.3 million. So basically it's $29 million, you know, regular, you know, the operating expenses. And account for revenue is 15%. And this, you know, major due to the revenue, SP go down, revenue go down, so the percentage go up. So this is a good question. For 2012, And what's the FX percentage? We think maybe will be around, 10% to 12% of our total revenue will be the operation expenses. Hopefully, the projects we develop, selling the high growth with the high growth margin, and will help us, to improve the percentage.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And again, we are pausing for any additional questions. Please press star one.
Okay.
And there's a question from the line of Zenzo Pan with Morgan Stanley.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my questions. I just have two questions. One is regarding the financial position of Jinko Solar. Do you guys have any plans of doing some fundraising or trying to pay down the converts out there? And my second question is, since we are not going to increase capacity in 2012, do you guys have any plans to improve the efficiency of the module or generally just, talk about the technology roadmap for 2012. Thank you.
Okay, for your first question about the financial position, I think, basically right now we are in good financial position, as you can see that, and we still have banking facilities available today. As of, December 31st, we have total banking loans, and, the credit facilities available is around $1.5 billion. U.S. dollars. We only used $552 million U.S. dollars. Still have like $1 billion available. And we are, going to continue to optimize, I think, to structure, better structure our debt. So maybe in the second quarter, we're going to issue local long-term bonds to replace the short-term bonds. So basically, I think for the financial position, we think is in a good position. Secondly, is we are not going to expansion our capacity on the wafer, cell, and the module. So should not have material capex continue to expense. So that's for your first question. And second question is about the technology and the efficiency on the cell. We also spend time and people and R&D people working on all kind of technology right now on the cell efficiency improvements. And the only thing is right now, if we want to commercial production the cell, we have to calculate the cost effective. If the cost effective is enough to support us to expansion those capacity, on the high efficiency, just like other people say, I'm not sure, you hear yesterday, Canadian Solar, and ESPL, we're not sure, the cost, how much they're going to increase. So they said their cost is going down to even 55 to, 60 cents overall per watt. We cannot support that, basically, So basically, we think, any high-efficiency cell developed, if we put it into commercial production, we have to calculate per watt how much cost we're going to add, how much we can sell. So we were, very importantly to put, commercial production.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
And there are no further questions at this time. I'll now turn the call back to Mr. Sebastian Liu.
Thank you, operator. Again, thank you for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. You will find all the contact details on our IR website at www.jinkosolar.com. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.